everyone. Welcome to Lifestyle Matters. My name is Dr. Fergal Armstrong, and we have with us Sharmi Cheng of the Dietitian's Kitchen. And this episode is brought to you in conjunction with CareVersity Health. Sharmi, I thought today we'd talk about the keto diet. Yep. There's a lot to say about it. So let's get the definitions right. What exactly is keto in the word keto diet?
Yeah, so keto is the short form. We call that actually ketogenic diet. Keto means fat. Ketogenic means like a fat generated. So keto diet is basically a characteristic by a very low carbohydrate intake, very, very high fat intake, a moderate protein intake diet.
Right. So ketones, ketogenic means also the development of ketone bodies. So as you say, it's all about fat, and it's all about using fat as the primary energy source, which means as a byproduct, you develop these ketones. And we'll need to talk about the difference between physiological ketogenesis and pathological ketogenesis later on. But for the meantime, the diets that are recommended by the Australian government, they talk about, you know, macronutrient ratios where you're talking about, you know, 45 to 60% of 65% of carbohydrates, maybe 25% protein, and maybe, you know, less than 30% fats. This ketogenic diet completely upends that. What are the exact ratios of carbs, protein, and fats in a ketogenic diet?
Right. Yes, it's very different compared with the Australian eating healthy guideline. For keto diet, it's looking for 70 to 80% total energy come from the fat, and also just 10% energy come from the carbohydrate, and looking for around 10 to 20% come from the protein.
Yeah, so that's really upended. It's actually, so that as a percentage of macronutrients in the ketogenic diet, fats overtake the percentage of carbohydrates in other diets. Yeah, so we're talking about 70 to 80%.
That's right.
Which is incredible. Hmm. So let's talk about the context of the ketogenic diet. So we know really since the 1960s in the States with Ansel Keys' studies, there was this kind of vogue to say, look, fats in your diet cause heart disease, therefore, and fats are bad. But the original studies from Ansel Keys didn't actually prove a link between cholesterol and cardiac mortality. Notwithstanding that, there was this big move in the 60s and 70s and beyond to replace fat in the diet with carbohydrate, which then, of course, then increased the proportion of both complex and refined carbohydrates in people's diets, which then also created the created problems with obesity secondary to insulin resistance. And I suppose it's useful to look at the ketogenic diet in terms of a reaction against a kind of a refined carbohydrate diet. What would you say to that?
So the keto diet has a lot of research shows that keto diet can actually improve the insulin resistance and also improve the HbA1c. That's why they have been using that for diabetes treatment, use that as a diet to help with manage the blood sugar level, because it does show some benefits to manage the blood sugar level.
There's also evidence that the keto diet actually improves some of the markers of lipids in the blood, but not all. So, I mean, it's been shown to improve triglyceride levels, but it hasn't been shown to actually decrease LDL. It's been shown to actually increase LDL. However, there is another theory, and the evidence for this is somewhat limited, but there is another theory that actually it's not just total LDL that is a cardiovascular marker. It's actually the particle size of the LDL bound to apolipoprotein. That is the key determinant of cardiovascular disease. And in that regard, the keto diet actually maintains high particle size, which is actually a good thing. So to recap, basically, we've agreed that it reduces HbA1c, it reduces triglycerides, And it may increase LDL, but that may be a good thing because it will increase particle size. So overall, there is some evidence that the keto diet, even though it's actually full of fat, actually may be good for cardiovascular health, which is somewhat contra, which somewhat militates against the original idea set out by Ansel Keys in his studies in the 60s and 70s. So we can see that it works well with diabetes. We can see that it can help with adverse lipid profiles. Does it actually work for weight loss?
So that's a really good question. I guess people believe it's really helpful for weight loss. That's why it's been very popular to use keto diet for weight loss. So we will need to know about the mechanism of keto diet, how it works, how it triggered the weight loss. I would say, yes, it helped with weight loss. It's quite common. People started a keto diet and they can achieve some weight loss in a short period of time. Well, but I would say there's also a lot of things to think about before you starting a keto diet. First, I would like to explain that how keto diet works, how it helped you to weight loss. Normally, our body use carbohydrate as a main fuel source to produce energy to our body. So when we eat carbohydrate, it will break down into glucose. And the glucose will need the insulin to help us to insulin act like a little key and open the door for the cell so our glucose in the blood can get into our cell and then get into our powerhouse called mitochondria and then break it down into energy like ATP. And then we use it and our brain use a lot of glucose. We need at least 100 to 120 grams of glucose every day for just our brain. While we stop having these carbohydrate or have very, very little amount of carbohydrate, our body will switch to a different mode. So for the first few days, 2 to 4 days, we might use our storage, which is a glycogen that we store in our liver and store in some of our muscle cells. But it can't last for long, so it's only for 2 to 4 days. Once these glycogens also deplete, then our body will change, switch to a different mode that we have to use our fat storage to produce fuel. That's how it burns the fat and produces energy and how it achieves the weight loss. It changed to mechanisms completely. We have to break down this fat and then they become ketone bodies. And the ketone bodies that we can use as a fuel and the brain can use it, same as other organs can use it to produce energy. While there's other things we need to keep in mind is in this process, it can be quite painful or tiring or fatigued or anything because it got a lot of unwanted side effect when our body is switching this energy source. So usually people complain about they feel headache, they have bad breath and also feeling dehydrated or even experience diarrhea, these side effects while they are switching this energy for energy source.
Yeah, it's a bit like a runner going through the wall because when runners do that, they're switching from sugar and glycogen metabolism to fat metabolism. So it's a kind of a same kind of thing there. I mean, I suppose it's a good point now to mention. So we've established that the ketogenic diet actually burns fat to produce ketone bodies. And ketone bodies then become the primary energy source. Now, it's really important to emphasize that ketone bodies find in the ketogenic diet, the concentration is no more than, say, 7 to 8 millimoles per liter. And that's different to pathological ketogenesis, such as can be found in type 1 diabetes, when you've got a complete deficiency of insulin, where you can actually get ketone bodies to the level of maybe, 20 millimoles per liter, which then actually alters the acidity of blood and causes various downstream problems. So in a ketogenic diet, we are actually generating physiological amounts of ketones, whereas with a type 1 diabetes, diabetic ketoacidosis, we're generating pathological amounts of ketone bodies. Just to make that distinction. But as you say, the switch from sugar and glycogen energy to ketone body energy is associated with side effects. Are there any other side effects or issues associated with the keto diet that maybe aren't so good? Are there any cons to the keto diet apart from the early side effects you've mentioned?
What I just said is basically a short-term issues. People probably, a lot of them, start experiencing these symptoms. Just like a week later, they started a keto diet. And there's a lot of long-term issues we also quite concerned about it. The long-term issues including that people might have certain types of vitamins or minerals deficiency in long term, like your water-soluble vitamins, mainly from your whole grain products. And also in the long term, when your bodies have a lot of ketone bodies, would there have any issues to do with our kidney? Because like there is like reported that if the ketone bodies too much accumulated in a body to a certain level, our kidney will try to get rid of these ketone bodies, and that will causing like increase the risk to get kidney stone.
There's also this idea that I don't believe has actually been proven in more recent studies, but there was this concern about the fact that the ketogenic diet is almost synonymous with a high protein diet or higher than usual amounts of protein, and therefore, you know, is the high protein diet or the high protein content of the diet going to cause other adverse effects in terms of kidney failure? But I don't think that's been proven in situations where people have normal kidney function. The other thing I want to talk about is the fact that it's all well and good to say that the ketogenic diet will help you lose weight in the short term and, you know, will help you reduce your sugar and will, you know, possibly optimize your lipid profile so that it helps you against heart disease. But it is a high protein diet. And we know that protein or high protein in people's diet can, in certain situations, increase the risk of both diabetes and also of cancers. And so that's why, you know, we actually, there are very strong advocates for plant-based diets such as the Mediterranean diet in actually reducing the risk of heart disease, reducing the risk of diabetes, and reducing the risk of cancer. So there are very good alternative diets. So we've got, you know, a bunch of long-term complications, such as you've mentioned. We've got a bunch of really good alternatives. And we have got a diet that really doesn't really help, especially if you're using a high protein diet. It doesn't really help with cancer. And it's difficult to actually tolerate in the long term. What would you say to all of that?
Well, we have discussed Mediterranean diet in our earlier episode. And I think there is a lot of evidence supporting that Mediterranean diet is really good for helping with preventing cardiovascular disease, cancers, and other chronic diseases. Well, compared with this Mediterranean diet and ketone diet, I just think about the sustainable, which diet you can follow it for lifelong. I will pick Mediterranean diet. As I mentioned about those side effects, short-term effect, and also the long-term nutrients deficiencies concern, just feel like ketone diet is not something we can do for long-term. Even though you can achieve a weight loss in short-term, definitely you will need to get back to a normal diet in certain point. It can be a short-term strategy, I would say, but definitely not something we can follow for long-term.
Therefore, in what situations would you recommend a ketogenic diet? To which patients would you recommend this?
Yeah, so usually that will be obese patients. So people are obese and also they have tried it, different methods to weight loss, and they don't achieve any good result. And if they also decide want to try the ketone diet, then I will provide a support to guide them to do that. And we also mentioned that keto diet's actually talking about 70 to 80% fat intake. only 10% carbohydrate and only 10 to 20% protein, it's actually very difficult for someone without a professional support to do that. Because they might restrict their diet to only a few items they know they are fat. Some people told me that I'm happy to do keto diets because I know I can have unlimited bacons.
Well, I would say that bacon as a processed red meat causes a high risk of bowel cancer. So.
Right. So people doesn't really understand ketones and what would be the best fat source for them to consume when they're on a keto diet. Yeah, so that will be something that we need to provide education to guide them to choose like the healthier fat, maybe like have a lot of more avocado or some nuts or olive oil to get into your diet instead of having your bacon. Yeah, so there's a lot to guide them to go through that. Yeah. And also they need to make sure that they know where's the carbohydrate hiding. Some patients told me that, can I have chocolates? They are fat, but actually there are a lot of sugars in chocolate. So when you're eating a lot of chocolate, you can't really get keto diet.
Yeah, that's the bad news. Yeah, so you're saying chocolate's not part of keto, and I'm saying you need to eat bacon in moderation. Because it may be associated with carcinogenesis. Now, all right, give me an example of what a ketogenic diet looks like. What kind of foodstuffs are we actually talking about? You know, you've mentioned bacon, you've mentioned no chocolate, you've mentioned nuts and oils, etc. But what does breakfast, lunch, and dinner look like?
So first, we need to calculate the total energy intake for a person first. Let's use myself as an example. If I'm going on a ketogenic diet, my all-day allowance for carbohydrate will be just one slice of bread. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, one slice of bread. And then if I want to have a little bit of milk, and milk got milk sugar, our lactose, so we have to be careful and not have so much, maybe just one coffee and one slice of bread. That's all for my carbs intake for the day. And then for the rest, that will make up with, you have to put a lot of like margarine or dip with olive oil, with some balsamic vinegar for your bread, add a little bit crushed nuts on it. You can have peanut butter, but you need to add extra margarine on top to get that extra fat. Not having too much peanut butter because it got too much protein in it if you have too much peanut butter. Because you have to be careful about the protein intake as well. And then maybe on top, I will add some avocado to bulk it up the fat. Right. And then that's probably for breakfast.
Right. What about lunch and dinner?
Well, for lunch, I will probably have like half slice of salmon because it's a fatty fish. So I can get the good omega-3 oil, but not so much. Only a small slice. And then while I'm cooking the fish, I need to add extra olive oil in it to cook it. And on the side, what I'm going to serve is avocado again to have extra fat. You can add slightly a small bunch of green leafy vegetable, just a small bunch, and then mix them with olive oil and balsamic vinegar. That's for my lunch. And then for dinner, we're looking for something as high fat as well. Probably you can have a small, very small piece of steak, probably like usually we'll say a palm size, but you can probably only have half palm size. And then you cook that with extra oil or butter, anything. And then you cannot serve that with potato, just say it. You cannot serve that with potato, but you can serve that with other fat sauce. Maybe make yourself another sauce. You put a lot of olive oil to make it. I would say it's just a lot of oil in the diet. And for drinks, and you can't have anything. You can't have fruit juice. You can't have anything. It's got sugar in it.
So what about nuts and bacon, as you say? Where would that go?
Yeah,
and eggs. What about fried eggs?
Fried eggs you can have, but not so much. If you're going to have your fried eggs, you probably have take away your peanut butter or take away something got protein, because eggs is quite high in protein.
Right. And what about bacon?
Bacon.
Unlimited bacon.
Yeah, you think you can have unlimited bacon? No, because bacon actually also have protein. Well, people will pick some fat cut bacon, which can work, but I would not recommend that, because even though you're on a keto diet, I would still think about try to get the monounsaturated fat instead of the saturated fat.
What food sources give you monounsaturated fats, or for that matter, PUFAs, polyunsaturated fats, and what sources give you saturated fats? What's the difference?
Yeah, so for saturated fat, basically most of the animal products, like animal fat, if you see a piece of steak, the white part of the fat, that's saturated fat, and then also butter, ghee, or margarine. Sometimes margarine got it, sometimes not. Depends what they use to make it. What's the source for them to make the margarine? Also, egg will have a little bit from the egg yolk, not so much. Egg usually is not a major concern. Full fat dairy product will be one, like a full fat dairy product likes your full fat cream, milk, and then your cheese. These will be something that we look into, the saturated fat source.
Right. And what about the non-saturated fats? Where would you get those?
So usually the monounsaturated fat we can find in a lot of different of vegetable oils, particularly the olive oil is very high in monounsaturated fat. For our nuts, they are good fat. The nuts usually has a mixture of the monounsaturated fat or polyunsaturated fat. The walnuts, they are really good. They got omega-3. Also flaxseed is another omega-3 good source.
So I'm listening to what you say, and I'm just thinking that a lot of people are thinking about the ketogenic diet similarly to the Atkins diet, which to my mind also emphasizes the role of meat. So what you're telling me is there is such a thing as having too much meat in the ketogenic diet. Is that right?
Yes. It's different. Right. These two diets is very different. The keto has a restriction on how much meat you're having, because the meat gives you protein. Because when you're having too much protein, and actually it's not helpful for the body to trigger the ketosis reaction.
Right. And that's because protein is in itself metabolized to sugar. So there's if you're eating more protein, then you can actually increase your sugar and therefore lose ketosis. Now, but having said that, I know proponents of the Atkins diet will actually test themselves for ketones, and they will celebrate the fact that they're now in ketosis using the Atkins diet. Have you ever heard of that?
Not really. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
No, I just have some colleagues who do Atkins, and they test their compliance with Atkins by working out whether or not they've got ketone bodies in their urine. But then again, I'm not actually sure exactly what they're eating. Maybe they are actually having just a high fat diet, a ketogenic diet. Well, if you've got ketone bodies in your urine, by definition, your diet is ketogenic, isn't it? Tell me how this translates to Asian cuisine, because we've heard about avocado, we've heard about bacon, we've heard about steak, we've heard about olive oil with a bit of balsamic vinegar. How would you advise people from the Asian community on their ketogenic diet?
To be honest, it is very challenging to do that. Because for Asian cultures first, they eat quite a lot of carbs. Which slowly transferring the refined sugar, like our white wine, white rice to the whole grain, like brown rice. But to completely get rid of this staple food from the Asian diet is very difficult. Like the traditional cookings always have some staple food, which is the carbohydrate source, either potato, or people have noodles or buns or rice as a staple food, and it's a really important part of the diet. If Asian people want to follow a keto diet, ketogenic diet, usually they would need to try a lot Western food. Like I said, the diet will be full of olive oil, margarine, fatty fish, nuts, these products. So it would be quite difficult to fit into a Asian style cooking as well.
Which therefore then speaks to the low level of sustainability of the diet, the lack of palatability. People cannot keep it up. Now, what happens then when you stop the ketogenic diet? What's the next issue?
For those people, they need to have a health professional like a dietitian to help them to slowly reintroduce the carbohydrate back to their diet. And it's not ideal to straight away jump back to your previous diet, that high carb. And it would be nice to have a transition time for your body to slowly adapt the carbohydrate and slowly switch back to the different process, which is using glucose as the major source for our fuel. It takes time to do that.
Yeah. So really what I'm hearing is you probably need dietetic advice to go into a ketogenic diet, and you definitely need dietetic advice to go out of a ketogenic diet.
Yeah. And when people start a keto diet, it's highly recommend them to start taking multi-supplements, like multivitamin supplements, just to prevent when they are on a very highly restrictive diet, they might potentially missing some nutrients in the diet.
Yeah. Sharmi, many thanks for your expert opinions today on the ketogenic diet. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, but I look forward to chatting with you again very shortly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all for today, folks. My name is Dr. Florida Armstrong, and this has been Lifestyle Matters.